covering all of the X factors that contribute to success, from marketing to motivation and everything in between. Welcome to the Growth Factor X podcast. And welcome to this episode of TGFX. I'm your host, Stefan Lubinsky, joined as always, my friend and CEO of TradePoint Digital, Bill Carmody. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Stefan. How are you?
I am well. I also want to welcome our guest. Our guest is a lawyer by profession of 27 years, 22 or 27 of those years in Hong Kong, 22 of those focusing on Hong Kong immigration. He is joining us via Skype from Hong Kong. So we're very happy to have our international guest, Stephen Barnes. Welcome, sir.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
You know, this is a really, really cool topic that you guys have decided to click the play button on. Bill and Stephen connected via Twitter, and Stephen had a really, really interesting thing to share, and we wanted to jump on it immediately. He has built an incredibly successful business basically on the tenets of the books by Seth Godin. And so today what we are going to explore is exactly what did he learn out of what books, how were these lessons applied specifically to his business, and the results that he was able to get. So let's just dive in. Bill, you want to get things rolling here?
Yeah. So what I think the reason Steve and I connected on Twitter was as a result of the Inc. article talking about some of the core principles of Seth Godin. And Steven had reached out and said, well, you know what? I've used these principles and they really do work. And so I think what I'd like to do is start off by talking to Steven a little bit about the background pre-Seth Godin.
Great.
And understand some of the things that he was doing before he had implemented some of those principles, just to give us a foundation. And then we'll talk about what specifically had been implemented and how it's affected his business for future growth.
Awesome. So, Stephen, take us back.
Okay. Well, you know, bearing in mind that the immigration practice that I've got today, the Hong Kong Visa Center, is really only 4 years old since we launched. And I've been doing this for 22 years. Essentially, I spent, 18 years or so doing it the wrong way and learning a great deal about my trade. And then because of circumstances in my life between 2009 and 2011, I had an opportunity to revisit how I was planning to practice immigration in Hong Kong continually and had a blank piece of paper to build the business model from. And I always knew that I wanted to produce something remarkable because I'd first read Seth's book, Purple Cow, in 2003, and it resonated with me straight away. It just made perfect sense. But where I was professionally at that time and the people that I was doing business with at that time just meant that it was impossible for me to act on it. But come the first opportunity that I had some 4 or 5 years ago, I thought, I'm going to build a remarkable business, and I turned to Purple Cow.
That's excellent. So let's start with that, with Purple Cow. It's actually one of my favorite books from Seth Godin. This Be Remarkable, the standing out, you know, being safe is risky and being risky is safe. Let's talk about some of those principles. What really sort of resonated with you, and what really important steps and actions did you take coming out of the content from that book that you applied to your business?
Well, you know, I had built my early success in Hong Kong immigration by giving all of my content and know-how away for free. I wrote a book on Hong Kong immigration in 1996 and put it on the internet for free at that point in time. So I knew that when I was going to be building my Purple Cow, it was going to be based on giving all my IP away for free, because I knew that content marketing would work, because it worked for me all those years ago. What I wanted to do this time was to be sort of super special about it and take not only the idea of giving all my know-how away for free via the web, sort of online, to take it offline to boot. So what this means is that because I'm Hong Kong's immigration expert, for my sins, if you will, I make myself available both via the web and also offline to answer people's questions and help them solve their problems. Because I recognized a long time ago that if I am going to be in a position to help people with their immigration problems, I need to understand what those problems are, which means I need to talk to them. Now, my colleagues in my profession have historically always sort of, you know, started the clock and been charging for the time that they spent with people understanding the problem. And I thought, well, that was really back to front. You really have to put yourself in the shoes of the person whose problems you're trying to solve, then understand them, and then you know whether you can actually help them or not. So that in and of itself was remarkable. So, you know, we went to market with this proposition that says, we're going to give all our IP, all our know-how, everything away for free. But at the point, you know, in the process where we forge a relationship with somebody as a result of that exercise, and we pick up a pen because we're, you know, starting to sort of deliver value for them in a tangible, meaningful sense in terms of getting their applications approved, then that's at that point that we start charging. So our Purple Cow, the foundation of our Purple Cow was basically just to give everything away for free, top to bottom.
You know, I think that what's really important that you're saying, and for people listening here, I mean, I almost like to kind of point out where people should pull their pen out and start taking notes in the podcast, and this is one of them. And that is that you made a really monumental decision there. It's not some lawyers charge, you know, for their time and IP. All lawyers charge for their time and IP. And so you took something that was baked into your industry for the last 2,000 years or however long lawyers have been lawyers, and you decided, yeah, almost quite naturally, like, yeah, no, I'm just going to give it away, and I'm going to let people learn, and I'm going to get them. Really, what's happening here is you're going to let them get to know you, step one, and then with all this information being righteous and accurate, they're going to get to like you, and when they realize that this is information that helped them in their life, they're going to get to trust you, and then it turns out when they actually need work done, they're going to go to the guy that they know, like, and trust. So, you know, for all of you listening, whatever industry you're in, how can you bunk the entire industry that you're in and deliver value, even if it's an anathema to how your industry normally works? So that's my little jot your notes down moment, and let's get back to the story.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a great summary, really, of what's been going on with us. But because I've got such acute knowledge of my niche, because I've been doing it for so long, and I'm the expert in it, and I wrote the book and all the rest of that good stuff, I realized that actually what I'm selling is I'm not selling a sort of a visa label in a passport or avoidance of queues at the immigration department. What I'm really selling is peace of mind. And by giving all my know-how away for free and empowering people to get on with their applications with our resources via the web completely for free, and helping them by answering the questions via our blog question and answer resource too. Essentially, the one thing that they can't get from doing this work themselves is the peace of mind that comes with somebody like me saying to them, yeah, okay, you know, we can get your visa approved. And because you can't essentially get that peace of mind, then that's ultimately what people are buying from us.
But that essentially, if I can summarize too exactly what you're just saying there, your Purple Cow was to deliver peace of mind, not the legal advice that most people in the industry would have come to expect to pay for, that you are saying, look, I understand what your needs are, and I'm going to go way above and beyond anyone else. And so what made you stand out was this not just this knowledge base, but this willingness to help people well before the actual the payment process would begin. And I think that sort of allowed you to stand out from any other lawyer who might be in this business, because they can get to know who you are and realize, exactly like Stefan said, know, like, and trust you, and understand that you're really delivering the value before they actually have to engage you, which is amazing. That's incredible.
And once I'd appreciated, you know, that this dynamic actually delivers relationships up, and then you appreciate also what it is that people are paying for, it was incumbent upon me in my business model to essentially reverse the risk completely in the hands of the people who were actually paying me money to help me help solve their problems. So I gave them a double your money back guarantee.
Oh, wow. Even more so. So actually, that was great, because that was my next question for you. Was, you mentioned Purple Cow, but you've also mentioned that you've read many of Seth's books. What other books did you read, take to heart, and take massive action on?
Well, and before we do that, I just want to ask, have we exhausted whatever else you pulled out of Purple Cow? I mean, is that it? That's kind of the Purple Cow story, and now let's move on to some of the other books where you gleaned, or there's some other aspects of Purple Cow that you implemented?
Well, just the whole idea that if I'm, you know, going to the trouble of trying to get people on my website, then I've got to give them a remarkable experience while they're there. Now, you know, they have remarkability through the way our business model is constructed, but just, you know, the way that you navigate through our website, the way I've used sort of characters and just done interesting, what I think are interesting things, the kind of things that you wouldn't expect lawyers or other legal professionals to do on their websites, because by definition, you know, the stuff that we're doing is remarkable, and people talk about it that way. So I like to think we've got Purple Cow-esque in our DNA now, and everything that we look to do as we develop our business model and grow and expand always has sets principles. You know, we always have them squarely in our focus.
Awesome. Okay, so what was the next book that, not necessarily in the chronology of when he published them, but what was the next book that you then consumed to say, aha, here's the next nugget that I need to apply to my business to go to the next level?
Well, again, not chronologically, because I have everything. I've read everything, and it's been a sort of a process of osmosis down the years of taking on board all the good stuff that he's had to preach to us about. But permission marketing, this idea that if you've gone to the trouble of making, you know, reaching out to people and having a relationship with them, that, you know, essentially you must value and respect that. And it drives me nuts today that I'll go to networking events and whatever, hand out my business card, and the next morning I'm on people's mailing lists, and they think that just because I've handed out my business card, I want to hear from them. I mean, it's rubbish, right? Yeah. So, you know, we win our relationships one at a time. And when we win that relationship, we respect it, so that whenever we email our clients now on a sort of a general sort of email blast, if you will, it's usually to invite them to come and hear me talk free of charge, or because we're delivering some other value completely free. So it's just this perpetual dynamic of reaching out to the people that have entrusted their email addresses with us, having a relationship with us on, you know, terms that that are based on respect.
Let me ask you about your speaking for a moment. Do you do that on the web? Do you do webinars on a weekly basis? Is it videos that you've made so that you don't necessarily have to be live for these webinars, but they can access you specifically, but in video form? Tell us a little bit about how you're actually interacting with people and getting that content out there.
Well, Hong Kong is a very small geography, right? It's a tiny geography. We've got 7.2 million people. The business districts is very close. It's only ever a sort of maximum 10, 15 US dollar taxi ride from one part of town to another. And there's a lot of opportunities for me to get out there amongst my tribe, as Seth would have it. And I give these talks all the time, because immigration is an evergreen issue. It's always live in people's minds, foreign nationals' minds in Hong Kong, what they need to do to stay compliant and get approved and all the rest of it. So I probably give 7 or 8 talks a month around town on various immigration-related matters. And, you know, I get a consistent audience, and I'm able to propagate offline all the good stuff that that I do online, in terms of, you know, making the relationships that I've forged work for everybody's benefit.
So I think there's a value there of having the physical events, and obviously if you're doing 7 talks in a month, you're having various different topics, and so you're attracting different audiences on various aspects of the immigration law. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And then because I've now got a video production company that I've been able to invest in as a result of the success that I've made out of the stuff that I've been doing for the last 4 years, my video production team come in with me and they record everything, and then we break it down into content that then gets delivered via the web on an ongoing basis. So those people that can't make it get to see it on the web anyway.
Yeah.
So there is just this, you know, constant cycling of new content that's of the age and delivers value to people. And,
Let's dig into some specifics there. When you're constantly creating content, how much? Do you have a schedule? Do you have I need to produce 1,000-word blog post, I need to produce a 3-minute video a week? Is it more organic, or do you have kind of a content schedule that you're looking to hit?
Yeah, we've got an editorial calendar, and essentially what I do is I record all the talks that I give, and I break them down into 1.5, 2-minute segments, and then we release them slowly over the internet. So we publish 3 to 4 times a week. Actually, these days we've been doing it 5 or 6 times a week. And then if there's any a bigger part, and that's from just the scheduled talks that I give. And then when there's matters arising that's new to immigration policy, or interesting cases to share, or people ask me questions via the blog, and I change the facts and then answer them via the blog, so that I can share that knowledge more widely to the community. That goes out; those go out 2 or 3 times a week. So, essentially, what we've got is an editorial calendar that sees video and podcasting, infographics occasionally, and I write stuff when I absolutely have to, because we, you know, we're mainly sort of in the video business rather than in writing these days, because we produce so much content in there because of all the talks that I give. That's our pool of ongoing content.
I love that. So I want to ask one tactical question, then I want to get back also to some of the Seth Godin books and other strategies, because this is really great. This is very foundational. What the tactical question I have is, what platforms have you deployed to use all this? Because I hear you saying I'm giving, you know, seven talks a month, and then I'm breaking down to 1 minute segments, and then I'm sending out and distributing that that content. How are you distributing that content? What platforms have you selected? Just so the
it's all WordPress. So
really?
we publish to my blog, which is called Hong Kong Visa Giza, which we'll get to, is my idea virus. And then it gets syndicated. That content then gets syndicated onto our Hong Kong Visa Center website. That's where we sell our stuff. Awesome. And then the Hong Kong Visa Handbook, which is a do-it-yourself guide. And it also gets syndicated onto all the major social media platforms. So we've essentially got a copy or a link to our published content in each of those platforms. So, you know, if you like to hang out on Twitter and you go looking for stuff, you search for Hong Kong Immigration on Twitter, you'll find us. Easily, similarly Facebook, similarly LinkedIn, and all the rest of that good stuff.
Now, do you do this internally, Stephen? Do you have somebody internally that handles, or yourself doing social media, or do you pay a company to handle your social media entirely?
No, the social media that we've got is essentially managed by me. Because I've got the relationship with everybody.
No, listen, that's such the right answer, by the way. I mean, I always struggle with companies that outsource social. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, TradePoint Digital does social for lots of companies, and they're happy with the work. But I'm always conflicted, because at the end of the day, especially for somebody like you, where you are the owner of this IP,
it's right. So
important that you are the one having the dialogue and that it's not outsourced. So I think that's also part of your success.
Well, often,
exactly, Bill. You just took the words straight out of my mouth.
Sweet. You mentioned Idea Virus, so that's another Seth Godin book. So let's talk a little bit about that one. So you took this Idea Virus concept and you leveraged it in terms of becoming the master of this industry. So talk a little bit about what concepts you pulled and how you implemented them.
Yeah. About 15 years ago, one of the radio announcers from government-owned RTHK Radio 3 here, it's the only government-owned English language radio station. And I've been invited once a month for 15 years or so at least now to go onto the radio and answer questions live on air and just talk about, you know, topical matters and all the rest of that. And one of the radio hosts used to announce my arrival by calling me the Hong Kong Visa Geezer. And I always thought that's quite catchy. And at some stage in the future, when I've got an opportunity, I'll sort of inculcate that into you know, how I do business.
That's great.
Then I read Unleashing the Idea Virus, and then I knew I needed an idea virus. So it was a no-brainer for me then to adopt the Hong Kong Visa Geezer, because it was handed to me 15 years ago. It was authentic, and it's incredibly catchy. And the Hong Kong Visa Geezer is now the second most searched after a search string that leads to us delivering content. So that's the way we've got our offline activities molded into our online activities.
For those people not familiar with The Idea Virus by Seth Godin, if you haven't read it, please go get it. Tell us, kind of define it, because we've talked about, hey, I needed an idea virus, and so I went with the Visa Geezer. But tell us what an idea virus is by Seth Godin's definition.
Okay, well, probably the best way to describe an idea virus is the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. It's a concept that's embodied offline that you can propagate online, and you bundle the concept in the use of words that presents this image that you can easily pass on to others that are not directly relating to your proposition, but they remember it because they've had an experience with it. So in our case, typically what will happen is that somebody will find themselves on our Hong Kong Visa Geezer.com website. They've had their question answered, they've had their problem solved, and they've moved on, right? It's not a huge part of their life. They've got out of the experience what they wanted. And 6 months later, they'll be sitting in a bar waiting for their friend to arrive, have an evening drink, and the friend will arrive puffing and panting and saying, yeah, you can't believe I've spent all day down at the immigration department and I've got all these problems. And so this other guy will say, oh, there's a website about that. It's called the Hong Kong Visa Geezer, because that's all that he remembers. And that is the way that we've been able to propagate our online presence offline. And it's pure Seth Godin through to the hill.
I love it. I think we have time for one more book if we want to squeeze one more in there, because there's so many of these books. We could talk about this all day. I love this topic. If you're going to pick one more, what other one would you like to share with the audience?
Well, I think it's Linchpin. And
good one.
Linchpin, because, you know, Seth says that essentially you've got to make yourself indispensable. If your mission is to make yourself indispensable, you will succeed by default. It's not something that you can specifically plan for, but it's something that you experience after the fact. And over the Christmas holidays, our websites got hit by a WordPress vulnerability on a plugin that we had. There were 100,000 websites that got affected. And essentially, we went down for about 5 days over Christmas. And I got about 80 emails during that time from people asking when the hell we were going to be back up again, because they needed the website. So I knew at that point that we'd achieved Seth's mission in terms of becoming a linchpin. And that's what my clients are telling me as well, as you know, when I see them and I'm talking to them.
Well, Stephen, you are generous with your time. You're generous with your information. But it looks like you figured out that generosity is part of your success. And that is why you gave all of that information away to build your business, to get people to know, like, and trust you. And I know that Bill and I now know, like, and trust you. And hopefully the Absolutely. Audience listening has really learned that it doesn't matter if you're in the law business, and it doesn't matter if you're in professional services, and it doesn't matter if you're in the mortgage business. If you have knowledge that other people can benefit from, don't try to keep it inside the wall and just throw out little treats to bring them in. Give it all away. Let people learn and grow. Let them benefit from you, and they will want to do business with you. They will want to refer business to you. So I really, really appreciate that you were able to kind of help translate books that we know are good ideas, but you're one of the rare people that actually took the ideas, wrote them down, implemented them somehow into your business, and have succeeded. And Seth Godin, I tell you, if he doesn't know the story, we're going to have to personally make sure that he gets a copy of this episode, because you should be his shining example of proof that if you listen and learn, you can earn.
Seth Godin says you should go forward and make art, and that's what I've learned to do. And every day, that's what my mission is. Be generous, be afraid to fail, go out there, surprise people, be remarkable, turn things on their head. You'd be amazed at the outcomes that you'll get.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Well, this has been a great episode of TGFX. I want to make sure that we thank our sponsor, TrayPoint Digital. TrayPoint is the company you go to when you have some digital marketing problems. Maybe you went with a company that's not serving your needs and you need somebody to come clean up the mess and achieve the results you're looking for. Or maybe you want to start from scratch with a company that will help build a digital footprint for you that achieves. That is TrayPoint Digital. You can reach them at 1-844-TRAYPOINT. That's TREPOINT, TrayPoint. Thank you, TrayPoint, for your support of The Growth Factor. Thank you, Stephen, for joining us all the way from Hong Kong. Lord knows it is late there, but we appreciate your time so much.
My pleasure. All mine.
And please check out our other podcasts on iTunes, at thegrowthfactor.com, all over the place. You will find Inside the Growth Factor. You will find Challenge Accepted, where if you're a small business entrepreneur or startup, you can submit your marketing challenge and allow Bill and I to tackle it live on the show. We appreciate your support and listenership. Until next time, continue to grow.